new chapter, students, a new chapter. Philosophy of Sankhya, it's quite a detailed chapter. But our two, we have two verses today, verses 13 and 14. We're going to get a little geography, just basic geography, not things that you don't know, of the universe. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayana Maharishi, the supermost human being, unto the goddess of learning, Mother Saraswati, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, and his disciples also. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with chanting of his song, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we're going to chant 13 together.
Response. Suranam Naganam, Ato Suranam Naganam, Munir Oro Shijat Prabhu,
Munir Oro Shijat Prabhu,
Munir Oro Shijat Prabhu,
Munir Oro Shijat Prabhu,
Lokyam Bhagaya Sarva,
Lokyam Bhagaya Sarva,
Lokyam Bhagaya Sarva,
Lokyam Bhagaya Sarva,
Karmanam Tri Gunatmanam,
Karmanam Tri Gunatmanam,
Karmanam Tri Gunatmanam,
Karmanam Tri
Gunatmanam, Adho Saranam Naganam,
Adho Saranam Naganam,
Bhumir Oko Shijat Prabhu,
Bhumir Oko Shijat Prabhu,
Trilokyam Gataya Sarva,
Trilokyam Gataya Sarva,
Karmanam Tri Gunatmanam, please chant.
Ado Saranam Naganam.
Ado Saranam Naganam. Bhumir Oro Shijat Prabhu.
Trilokyam Gataya Sarva.
Karmanam Tri Gunatmanam.
Thank you.
Ado
Adho Saranam Naganam,
Bhumir Oro Shijat Prabhu,
In the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma explains to the demigods
The inhabitants of Vaikuntha travel in their airplanes made of lapis lazuli, emeralds, and gold. Although crowded by their consorts who have large ships and beautiful smiling faces, they cannot be stimulated to passion by their mirth and beautiful charm. That's from the third canto of the Bhagavatam, 15th chapter, text number 20. Thus, in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, the inhabitants have absolutely no desire for personal sense gratification, since they are completely satisfied in love of Godhead, because they only think of the Lord's pleasure. There is no possibility of cheating, anxiety, lust, disappointment, and so on. As described in Bhagavad Gita 18:62, let's chant it together. Tam eva sharanam gacha sarva bhaveva bharata tat prasada param shantim stanam pravyati shashvatam. O sign of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Om Ajna Timadanasya, Anandanam Alakaya, Chapsu, Udhu Chamjanga, Kalsmai, Shibari Maha. So in these verses, and in this series of verses, we're getting a little picture of the hows and the whys of the universal creation, how and why it's created the way it is. So I have a little chart here, which is just depicting, simply depicting that situation of the planetary system. There's nothing new there that you don't already know. But personally, I like visual aids. So the first verse, Lord Brahma created the region below the earth for the demons and the Naga snake. So here we are. Earth planet situated in the middle. The earth planet, we could say, like when you go to the mall and you wonder where the store is, you look at that little map and says, you are here. So here's where we are now, somewhere in this middle planetary system on the earth. And the earth is known as Karma Bhumi. Karma Bhumi means here on the earth, we're engaged in all sorts of activities and we're getting all sorts of reactions. So when Lord Brahma is charged, he's given the task of arranging the universe, and he has to figure out where to put everybody. So what is his base where he's putting everybody on? What's his priority? Who goes where? It was stated in the two verses. Who goes where? It's a simple thing. Garunga knows, but we're going to wait to see if someone else would like to shoot a guess. Takarani Ji. The three modes, by their situation in the three modes, that's correct. There's other things, too. Garunga, what would you like to say? The way they work and act. The way they work and act, because the way people work and act, they get what? They get a reaction to that, and they get a tendency to act more in those activities. So let's go for a minute to Nectar of Devotion. In the Nectar of Devotion, in the very first chapter of Nectar of Devotion, where it explains about the characteristics of pure devotional service, and that chapter explains that. And that chapter explains why people do sinful activities. So it's important to understand the whys, because then you'll understand the wheres, too. So why do people do sinful activities? Any clue? Gopal? Okay. There in Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explains that people do sinful activities based on ignorance. Because they don't realize who they are, and they also don't realize what the results of their activities are. Especially today, people have no really connection between actions and reaction. And one of the tricky things about action and reaction is there's action, and then there's a space, usually. oftentimes there's a space. The reaction doesn't come right away. Sometimes it comes in a few days, sometimes in a few months, sometimes in a few years, and sometimes in a few lifetimes. We've seen many stories in the Bhagavatam of persons who got themselves in trouble. Maybe they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the sage came and cursed them. And then they said, in your next life, you will be a elephant or this or that or whatever. And it'll happen. Sometimes it happens right away, and sometimes it takes some time to develop the reaction. So according to the reactions, then people are good. So Lord Brahma, he's in charge with the task of putting people in a certain situation. So it was mentioned that below the earth is the place for the demons and the naga snakes. So what makes a person go, a living entity go to that region is because of the activities that they've done, the demoniac activities that they've done. They go to a region in ignorance, in darkness, where they're perpetually situated, well, not perpetually in the literal sense, but for a long time, reaping the results of those activities. But what they're doing is, they're reaping results of activities that they perform on the earthly planet. They perform certain activities, let's say sinful activities, they got a sinful result, they're taking a situation in a sinful situation, and therefore they have a, Lord Brahma's created a region for them. In the earthly planet, we see there's places of opulence, there's places of poverty, there's places of enjoyment, there's places of suffering. It's a mixed bag here. But we're performing, it's like, given the example of like a bus stop. Being out in the country, we don't have so many of those. But anyway, still, you have a bus stop, you come, or you could even say like an airport hub. When you go fly into a little regional airport, you're flying there to go to another place, another destination, and that airport has lots of more flights to various locations. So the earth is like that, it's like a hub. So we're here, we do different activities, we get different results. Those who perform the second verse, verse 14, talked about those who perform austerities, particularly in celibacy, they're raised to higher and higher planets, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. Satyaloka is where Lord Brahma resides. Those planets are more and more in the mode of goodness, and the higher you go, when you get to Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, the atmosphere is more and more subtle. The personalities there are more and more focused in on that particular process of self-realization that they have taken to. So it's all based on their activities. But there was one line, I hope you caught it. I hope you caught it. It was in the 14th verse. The very last sentence of the 14th verse says, but by devotional yoga, one achieves my transcendental abode. So the transcendental abode, you could say, it's not even on the chart. It's off the chart here. The transcendental abode, Krishna's a personal abode, or Vaikuntha planetary system. It's not, so this chart is just giving you a small diagram, very simplistic, I admit, of the material world. But beyond the material world, there's another realm, the spiritual realm, the transcendental realm, Vaikuntha, no anxiety there. And it was mentioned in the purport that because they are, it's one of these paradoxes. Because they are not at all concerned with their own personal sense gratification, they're achieving the highest pleasure. And because they're totally absorbed in serving Krishna, there's no anxiety, cheating, lust, disappointment, or any of those other bad qualities that we experience every day. So You've heard that saying, birds of a feather flock together? I think that came from Lord Brahma. Anyway, so he's grouping people according to their propensities and their desires in this material world. But beyond that is the spiritual world. So by engaging in transcendental and devotional service, we have the opportunity to go off the chart here. Out of the confines of this material world. And that is, as you've heard many times, such a special opportunity that we should do our best to take advantage of every opportunity that we have to perform some devotional service in some way. Please the Lord, and make our aim, Param Padam, that transcendental abode of the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada explains in many, many places the different results, the different results of the different yoga practices, why people get to Janaloka, Tapaloka, such and other places. By their performance in the yoga practice, they reach those abodes. But if we wanted to do a comparative result, what's the comparison of somebody who reaches these higher planetary systems and somebody who reaches the spiritual world? So first we have to understand what the characteristics of the material world are, even in the higher planetary system, although life is so much more pleasant than it is in this realm, still the activities there are, it's still temporary. Even one lives for hundreds and thousands of years in these planets, in these higher planetary systems, still there's either they have to make progress and go on to the spiritual world, or they come again down to the earthly planet again and perform more activities to get more highest credits so that they can go on further. So they're still stuck. I mean, a while back we gave that example of the earth like the coconut. So the planetary systems are all inside that hard shell of the universe. And even if one is in a nice situation, it's still within the confines of the material world. And that what that means is still within the confines of birth, death, old age, and disease. Yet if we compare again now, what is it like in the spiritual world, what's it like in Vaikuntha? No anxiety, no birth, death, old age, and disease, no bereavement of any kind, no cheating, no disappointment in any way. So if you compare the results of things, you could see, well, it's a far better deal to try to go try Vaikuntha. Even if we're doing it just for even if in the beginning our motivation is for our own personal gain, in the beginning sometimes in the process of mixed devotional service we have various motivations that push us forward in devotional service. Some might be the motivation, oh, the spiritual world is a quote-unquote better place, so let me go there. It's not necessarily that right in the very beginning we're thinking, yes, let me go there and serve Krishna unconditionally 24 hours a day forever. That'll come gradually. But in the beginning, there's a mixed motivation. So if we're actually looking, what's the result? Just like whenever you're doing some shopping, you're buying a new car, or a new bike, or a new this, or a new that, you might compare, well, what's the benefit of this model, and what's the benefit of that model, and what is it that I need, what is it that I want, what is it that I can afford? That's a big one. Don't forget that one. So by one's activities, we have, you could say, like a karmic payback payment, a karmic payment. And those karmic payments are what how we get our next residence. Can we afford the penthouse suite on Fifth Avenue? Well, we can't afford that if we don't have that karmic payment to get that, then we can't go there. So if we don't have the qualification of it, the ability to get to the spiritual world, then we're going to get someplace situated in the material world. So the paradox is that one who becomes less and less motivated by their own desire for sense gratification, less and less motivated by that means more and more motivated by the desire to please Krishna. Although it would appear that the less interested I am in my own sense gratification, the less sense gratification I'm going to get. It's one of those oxymorons, opposites. It's not like that. The more one becomes absorbed in the service of Krishna, the more one becomes full of transcendental bliss. And one can only come to that realization by experiment, you know, by experiencing it. And that's why every time you come and hear, we're always encouraging you, engage in devotional service. Chant with your heart. Do your activities with as much devotion that you can. Put your heart, not just your mind, not just your body, not just your physical, don't just be here physically, which I know is what a lot of us are. Bring the mind, bring the heart, bring the desires here, and take advantage of the situation so that we can make the most of it. So this chapter, Sankhya philosophy, is very detailed. Luckily we got something that I can a little bit relate to on that planetary situation. So very detailed on the whole cosmic situation. And it will continue on. So is there any questions or discussions that you'd like to have? Seisha Prabhu.
But how can it, if they're being created, how can it be based on reaction? It's just a creation.
It's an interesting, is it the chicken or the egg that comes first? It's to me, it's a similar thing. So, what would you like to say to that? One thing that comes to mind, maybe I'll stimulate someone else's thoughts on it. One thing that comes to mind is when the creator, we're thinking that there's one creation, you know, but Lord Brahma, he creates every day. You know, every day of Brahma, every moment of his day, he has the moment there's some devastation to create the world again. So the activity, and every day, because of the previous day's activities of the collective living entities, they're in a different place because they've created different activities. So they come out again according to their previous days, Lord Brahma's days. Perhaps the beginning, the very first one was because the Lord knew that there were going to be people that were attracted to those modes. And she is just laughing at that. John Blossom, did you have a point that you wanted to make? And then I got my little brother.
There's a nice description in Krishna books of prayers of the personified Vedas. It's how Krishna, out of love, facilitates the jiva who desires to enjoy sexually covenant. So he gives the facility for them to do that in such a way that they frustrated and actually get to a point where they turn back to him and experience the pleasure and bliss of consciousness. So it's personally designed for, like you were saying, there's a
She's her plus status.
You know where people go and then they got
actions. Those actions have to base upon
their decisions in this life. You know, like if someone really wants to go to hell, there's a lot of facilities in Kali Yuga to do that. You know, they can act for extreme simple activities and they'll get the results. So if someone has a good fortune of coming in contact with an elevated soul, then they have the intelligence of that thing that sends them down.
Right.
They go up, and those creations are there because we're from unknown. Nature, we've got this mystic power, it's the soul of the universe. We learned that yesterday. So he has a sense of what's going on in different parts of the universal body.
And you said something that reminded me again from that first chapter of Metta and Devotion, where it's explained that the living energy does things based on, because they do sinful activities because of ignorance. And that's another thing that I was thinking of. All the different other processes of yoga, the Ashtanga yoga, Jnana yoga, all those other types of yoga, they don't remove that desire seed in the heart to do those activities. Whereas the process of Bhakti yoga, it burns up to the root. Even the desire to do sinful activity. So it's not a question of. So these other processes of yoga, although one becomes more and more and more purified, still they don't become 100% purified by that. And then one has to, and that's why we see the superiority of the process of Bhakti yoga. I got it. Thank you.
What are the where and the why of the subterranean heaven of Havana?
The where and the why? The where
I see have a lot of the top. But subterranean heavenly planets, where are they situated here?
They're down in the lower planetary system.
And why are they called heavenly?
Because there's a great, because Prabhupada explains that the demons have a high standard of sense gratification, so there's opulence there. But what makes it hellish is that the only fear that in the heavenly subterranean heavenly planets, the only fear they have is the fear of death that comes in a due designated time. So they're just, you know, enjoying like anything. That's my understanding. But we'll come back to you.
I had a question about the system here, too. So my understanding is, you know, you work on the side to do the best you can, and if you don't make it, then you give it another chance. Right? And so in this earthly planetary system, we seem to have good karmic situations that are not so good. We have more hellish life than not. So what's the point that pushes you down into lower, and what's the point where in the earthly, you're not in Hawaii, but you're up, you know what I mean? What is that? Why? You know, the cycle of like trying to figure it out here makes no sense. We all have to get a chance, and we can make good decisions, but you know what I mean?
I believe I understand it, but I don't know the answer in that sense. All I can think of is the phrase in Bhagavad Gita, that the intricacies of action and reaction are very difficult to understand. So we try to, just like the floor, black and white. So is it 5 pounds of sinful activities that pushes you down to the hellish planet, or you have to do 10 pounds? You know, we have to do that.
And then the other question is, when we leave our bodies and we have some simple reaction that we have to do before we enter our new body, is that in the hellish planet?
No, not necessarily that we have to go to hellish. Even Srila Prabhupada explains in the fourth canto that for a devotee, they can even burn off some karmic reaction, even in their dreams. He says that in the fourth canto. Even by experiencing bad dreams or suffering in dreams, sometimes that's a type of burning off of karma. So we have sinful reactions. Simply, it's like this life. You have so many good things happening in your life, and then there's a disease that comes, or then there's some financial difficulty that comes, or then there's legal implications. You know, so it's all played out in that sense, and more specifically than that. I don't know. Another I don't know. For those who I don't know. Johnny,
first of all, I'm psyched about the dream thing because I never had bad dreams until kind of recently.
So you're burning off.
Yeah.
You look at it positive.
You talk about the space between the action and reaction. We know that, say, for example, with our children. If my son does something and then 3 weeks later, I deal with that situation, and I don't tell him why.
Seems like a bad system.
So the goal is to get the living entity back to the spiritual world. Why not set up a better system?
It's a very good question. The complaint department on the universal creation is on the third floor of this building. It's a question that comes up often. Why not do a better system? But the thing is that Krishna wants us to love him. And love is voluntary. So the system is so that one gradually comes to understand If I do this, I suffer. And that's the system. So it happens. Just like if you had your children, your son, if every single time he disciplined him right away, however you choose to do it, then he's or that person is very inclined to do exactly what you say because oftentimes, because of fear, motivation, the reaction. If I do this, my father's really going to be mad. And he's really going to chastise me or whatever. But Krishna's not like that in that sense. He loves us, and he also has a different perspective of time than we do. We have a perspective of time. Krishna, please help me. Come on, after my prayer, where's the help? You know? So Krishna's there, and he's interacting with his living entities in a different frame of time than we are. Then we think we should be that. But the point is love. So by me doing, quote unquote, the right thing out of love. And that's the difference between sadhana bhakti and raghunuga bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, we're motivated to do things because our spiritual master has told us. We're motivated because we might be we've heard of the reactions. We might be fearful or hesitant to do things because we've heard there's a reaction. But when one, performing devotional service on that level of sadhana bhakti, gradually one gets a taste and one does things out of love. And that motivation, although the activities might be the same, the motivation is very different, and the motivation is very important. Siddhi, did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, this is just a voluntary desire. We don't want it. Because, like you said, it's voluntary, voluntary. Sometimes we live in a desire, I don't want it. And he's giving us the facility for that, too, to call it mine. So it is that voluntary aspect. But hey, just talking about creation, unfortunately, that's like another one for the discussion. But hopefully this is relevant. But once we're not creationists, in the sense that we tend to determine the Western debate, because in Western theology, the idea is God creates for nothing, not one creation. But within our kind of paradigm, it's more of like things manifesting and unmanifesting over a long period of time. You know, Lord Brahma is cyclical, and material energy is eternal in one sense. manifest and unmanifest. And the karmic momentum, if you will, the desire to become dormant and become manifest.
Yeah, good point. Johnny, can I just try something else? Do you have another comment? Okay. Donna, actually.
Audrey, you mentioned that, you know, like all the different planetary systems of the Earth, anxiety, then you mentioned, like, Kunku, there's no anxiety. What about Goloka Vrindavan? Is there anxiety there?
Yep. Totally. And I know someone's going to say something like that, but it's okay. There's anxiety there, but it's, as you well know, based differently. That anxiety is for the service of the Lord. And at the same time, it's not like the anxiety that we experience here that is totally anxiety. That anxiety, somehow or other, they say, the self-realized souls say, that anxiety is blissful also. And we just have to wait and see. Yeah, there's anxiety there, but it's a totally different type of anxiety because it's Krishna-centered. Where you want to be, the anxiety that you want. Just like there's so many instances of people who came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I thought if I took up this process of Krishna consciousness, I'd be free from anxiety, but I'm in so much anxiety now about this building and that construction and this and that and so many things that appear in my day. But this is the kind of anxiety that you want, anxiety for the service of Krishna. The anxiety for the Rathi Yatra. Are you, do you ever get an anxiety about that?
Oh, I don't want to know.
It kind of puts a question like, if I think of planets, you know, I'm like, then what are actually things there? Generally, anxiety comes from, you know, something that pushes you, some motivation, some goal you have to reach, or some desire that may be there. Like, let's say, in this world, the desire to go all the circles, then anxiety develops. How come to these problems? So, what is it like? I think about what it says you're on the right. How can we attempt to
understand? Well, what came to mind, one thing that came to mind while you're talking, is the example that Papa gives about the concentric circles. Because everything is focused on Krishna there. Everything, 100%, not one iota of focus on anything else but Krishna pleasure. Then everything expands from there. The happiness, the whatever, even maybe the anxiety, whatever. But it's based differently because it's based on Krishna pleasure and association with that. So that's what I have to say. Is that comfortable? Or anybody would like to add to that?
Describe it. As you pointed out, that it's concentric circles, so everything is worked with cooperative out of love, so out of different operating system here. Of course, you thought about that 11237 as a cause of fear is functioning in the duality of manifesting the body and such as life. So that's not there. So it's a whole other way that it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anandamayi means they have some self-happiness idea here. So you can meditate on Krishna's Narayana's lotus feet for million years. You are happy, you don't need anything. But when it increases to an extent that your possessiveness of Krishna's relationship increases, then affection pours out so much. Then all these things, the 33 elements that nourishes Pancharibhava, the one of them is anxiety. Those are necessary. Those are necessary to nourish and pull the inner nourishment. Because they want exclusively for Krishna's pleasure. In Vaikuntha, there is a self-satisfaction idea is there, not completely for Krishna's satisfaction. So that's what makes it big.
Yeah, thanks.
Anything else? All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhagavatam, please.
And the express of the very young. It's not legal, it's disease.
Yeah, it's a process. It's just a